Hello and welcome to another episode of the Writer's Bookshelf with, of course, me, David Driver. And once again, welcome wherever you may be in the world. Once again, thank you to all you lovely people across the pond in the good old US of A, and in particular Virginia. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. Thank you for downloading or tuning in, whatever you may call it. And goodness me, we've got a little bit of the old battle of the good rivalry going on. What do I mean? Well, good evening or good afternoon. Hello. Just say hello, David. Hello to Bonnie Scotland. What do I mean by that? Well, if we take England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, we've had a good number of people listening in Ireland. Thank you ever so much for that. We've had a good number of people listening in Wales. Thank you for all you people who have listened and you are living or you're from Wales. Brilliant stuff indeed. But the two main, if I keep it a bit nearer home, it's been dominated, that's probably the right word to say, the podcast, we've had a lot of listeners, people downloading predominantly in England. Because when we look at people who are tuning in, it says obviously the UK, excuse me. And it says, and then it divides you up into the four. And we've had a good chunk of people listening in Bonnie Scotland. But it's always been sort of top of the league, if you like. It's always been England. And I don't know, that just may be because where I am, living in Silsden, Yorkshire, you know, that sort of thing. People that know me, people that know a lot of the guests that come on that have been on the show. But I have to say, last week, goodness me, from last week to this week, what is happening? Because it's tied 50-50 at the moment. And that might be a link to my lovely friend and lovely guest last week, Louise Hoffman. I might be wrong, I don't know, I'm only surmising. So thank you for the massive, and I do mean the massive increase in people listening in Scotland. Hello to all you people, and it's a little bit of, if you like sport or you like that good old sort of England-Scotland rivalry and all the history associated with it, we've got a little bit of the battle for the number one spot, so to speak. So let's see what happens in the up and coming weeks. So yes, let's see what happens. Okay, these are obviously, it will be another Tuesday when you're listening to this for the first time, and we're sort of drifting through. Goodness, the months are flying by. When it will be the couple more episodes in April, and then I think this will be the penultimate. It'll be going out the day before my birthday. It's too late to buy me a present. If you're listening for the first time, it will be Tuesday, the 23rd of April. It's not the most important day. Some people might think St. George's Day and all that sort of thing. And I think there was, you know, God bless her soul, there was a Queen's birthday thrown in there. No, the following day, the 24th of April, is the most important day. I'm only pulling your leg. And why? Because it's my actual birthday, yes. 24th of April. Goodness. So, happy birthday to David. It will be in Whitby. Excuse me. I can always tell I'm recording a little bit live. I've got that tickly cough again. We'll be over in Whitby on the Friday. We love all the goth scene. We'll be going to Whitby Goth Fest in April. You know, for the last 20 odd years, our youngest daughter has turned 23. So I think it's 25 years or more. We've been going to Whitby, and we'll be going in October as well. So when you are between this Tuesday, when you're listening, and the next Tuesday, it'll be Whitby sort of celebrations. And what I've sort of done is I'm going to share the sort of last of my short stories with you. And this one comes from Ripskillian Tales, and it's called The Beggar. I am sort of re revisiting some of my short stories, because I've always sort of maybe, well, possibly known this in the back of my mind. And there's those, I suppose, really the three main writing outlets, if you like. I have been heavily involved with poetry, and poetry lends itself to many different formats and writing styles and all such like. I love the short stories. I've always liked, always loved, in fact, writing short stories. And the novel obviously takes, more work. When I say work, creativity is there. You've really got to get the word count, get the chapters, and it's a different way of approaching things. And short stories can be a collection on the same theme, anything you like. What I'm sort of finding now, having sort of gone over to the podcast or gone over to podcasting and working the, as I say, it's work in progress, certainly 2024, we'll have Wicked Female Killers, which will be podcasts coming later on in the year, and the Purple Orchid of Ulysses Goyle is not a million miles away, to coin a phrase. I'm sort of thinking in the back of my mind, reworking short stories, as in maybe taking them, and I could take some of them to a novel, could take some of them, which I have done, to the podcasting, radio, that sort of thing, or take some of them to stage. There's been talk of the Purple Orchid of Ulysses going to stage. So I'm just going to read one now. This episode is going to be the shortest one, and it's going to be called, well, it's going to be the title of The Beggar. And I think it's sometimes good to revisit your work, as in, you know, what mindset were you in? I don't mean that in any sort of crazy way. I think as writers, as creatives, we're getting certain mindsets. You're thinking, I've mentioned Whitby. You could be thinking of a Whitby sort of vampire theme. You could have some dark themes. You might be talking about nature. You might be talking about analysing who we are as human beings, who we are as a species, the planets, detective series, time travel. And I think writers, regardless of poetry, short stories, whatever you're writing, I think it lends itself to that, and I in particular think that. I mean sometimes you've got to be careful of possibly not writing the same sort of thing, but I do think you're getting that mindset of, you might be inspired by someone, a name, a place you've visited, some event that's happened, you might have looked in history, you just might have a crazy thought in your head, and then that creativity is there, and it's probably, dare say, if it's writing, if it's painting, if it's an oil painting, it's modelling, anything, it sort of has that theme through it. So I'd like to get back to where I am, where I was, have a revisit of where I was in my mind. So this one is, it's called The Beggar. And just before I start, the Ripskillian Tales, some of the artwork, I actually lost touch with this lady. Going back on Facebook, I know people have different views on Facebook. It's always worked reasonably well, for me. And I'm fairly rubbish at drawing, probably a stick man. I'm not an artist as in that respect. But we used to be a member of a Facebook group called Artists and People Who Love Artwork, that sort of thing. And a lady, lovely lady from Japan, sort of got in touch, and she went by the name of Akiko Kobayashi, a fantastic, well, phenomenal Japanese artist. And I liked some of her work, and they're just sort of liking things, and I said, I love this, I love that, and she must have had a look to see what was sort of going on with my, Facebook page, or going on with my website, and this and the other. And she got in touch and said, I'd love to do some artwork for you. So if you look at Ripskillian Tales, the artwork There's a couple of photographs in here that I sort of adapted. A couple of photographs I took, which are adapted. All the artwork, she did some fantastic work for the book, and what a phenomenal artist. And then it just sort of in recent years, she disappeared. I mean, I do hope, you know, if she's okay, I wish her all the best in life, and I hope herself and her family are safe. She sort of disappeared from the sort of social media scene, and I don't know where she is now, what she's doing. And the good thing is that she, I mean, my Japanese was absolutely non-existent, and I used to send her all these various messages and emails and keep in touch. Brilliant, brilliant stuff indeed, and we finally got there. So, just sort of mention that. Anyway, this is called The Beggar, and it starts off with a prologue. Let's see what you think of this. So the prologue is, "We are all born the same, live our lives, and eventually die. Life unfolds, revealing many things. Some men prosper, while others fail. Wealth and poverty are divided amongst us all. People aspire to be wealthy, acquire materialistic items, and rise above their neighbours. Intelligence cannot be bought. Success cannot be measured by one's wealth, fine clothes, or house in which they live. Society is what society breeds. A food chain is created, people fighting each other to reach the top. Offspring follow in the footsteps of their teachers, and so gold, silver, and sapphires become more precious than water, bread, and shoes. The sun and moon are never thought of. The tides ebb and flow unnoticed, and the know-how to create wealth becomes greater than the know-how to create fire. Is there really a God? Does an all-powerful being or beings watch over us? Are we punished in the next life for the lives we have led in this one? What happens when a civilization reaches a state of wealth beyond our wildest dreams? Others work while the rich lay idle. Water comes from the tap. Fruit and vegetables are grown for someone else to pick, and the most succulent dishes should be served in the finest gold platters. Which one do you want? All of them." No laughter followed. The woman gestured to the shopkeeper, and he came running. "Oh, yes, madam. Of course, madam. A wise choice, madam. Shall I wrap them for you?" "Yes." As she spoke, the woman walked away, looking rather disdainfully, and began to filter through bottles of perfume with a pale hand. The couple exited the shop. Making eye contact with another husband and wife, they proceeded to an eating house. Polite conversation was made. The four were seated outside by a large man with greedy eyes, and menus were soon brought. "Come along, Clarissa." "Why should I have to walk? It's a lovely day. It's nice to walk. A carriage would have been quicker." "We can take a carriage home, darling." A third voice spoke from behind the mother and daughter. "Oh, thank you, father." The blonde-haired 11-year-old let go of her mother's hand and held her father's. Smiling, she spoke again. "Could I have a new necklace to go with my new dress?" "I don't see why not, sweetheart." The mother turned to look, but the father spoke again. "And I think it's about time you had some nice new jewellery. Say about 2,000, maybe 3. That nice bracelet you like, the gold one." Smiling, they all shared a hug. "Business is good, so let's enjoy the rewards. Four younger pairs of legs followed the older pair. One boy pretended to walk with a limp. Another one had removed his shoes. Howls of laughter accompanied them, along with abuse. What is it? What are you? He's a pig, an animal of some sort. Are you from beyond the mountains? They say the towns and cities there are dirty and that people are savages and unintelligent. He's a savage then. Can you speak? No reply came. He can't speak. He can't speak. Various animal imitations followed. A dog, a cow, a wolf. Small stones were thrown at the man's back. He didn't turn to scold the young boys. He didn't run. Instead, he just kept walking, travelling further into town. His tormentors had first sighted him by the river, to the east of the town of Sawbill. This was a very wealthy town, rich in vineyards, precious stones, and silk. Following him for over 20 minutes, he had moved away from the river and now approached the main street, which would eventually take him into the square for all to see. More eyes had now sighted this thing. Tongues wagged and fingers pointed. One of the boys had been pulled away by his mother. A group of men had now gathered and also followed. Tell the mayor! Tell the mayor! We can't, he's away. Where? On holiday. Oh. Bare, filthy, bruised feet eventually stood still. Worn, tattered clothes hung from him, and thick, matted hair sat on top of a weary head. Longing eyes gazed, and he eventually sat on the cobbled street. No one spoke to him or approached. His original pursuers had all gone, but many eyes still viewed. Dirty hands held a wooden bowl as he looked up in hope. So what do we do? What is it? I think it's a man. No man would look like that. It's a beast. If it's a beast, what shall we do with it? Wait until the mayor returns. When will he return? The day after tomorrow. But where has it actually gone? Is it to the Southlands? On holiday, like I've said. Yes, that's right, yes. He's not been mayor very long, has he? No. Only 6 months. That's right. We lost the old mayor quite suddenly. And he was elected. Oh, shame. I like the old mayor. And so the three men continued to converse between themselves. The banker, the diamond merchant, and the vineyard owner. A fourth man walked towards them, and all seemed pleased to see him. The judge, the judge is here. He'll know what to do. Look at that, what shall we do? These last words were directed to the tall, thin man, who looked like an eagle. Now, gentlemen, let's keep calm. We can't do anything rash or stupid. I know what we should do, but we shall have to wait until the mayor returns. But you're the judge. We must wait until the mayor returns. That's right, that's why we elected him. The mayor will decide and we shall help him. And then the judge will pass sentence. That's correct. I will. So we'll just have to wait. I suppose so. But it doesn't look dangerous. No, it doesn't. We'll just keep away. Continue as normal. But what will the people say? We'll just have to wait and see. I wish the mayor was here now. So do I. Well, he'll be back soon. Hours passed. People stared, keeping their distance, but still curious. Not speaking, the half-starved man just sat, longing for food, water, or even conversation. Noses were held as townsfolk passed. One woman nearly fainted, and another had to rush into a local tavern to be sick. Pig! You pig! Clarissa, come here. Ignoring her parents, the girl ran towards the man. Brandishing a riding crop, the spoilt young female began to beat him. You filthy pig! Horrid pig! Leave our nice town! Leave us! Leave us alone, you savage pig! Hans covered his head as the man of about 50 years suffered at the hands of the 11-year-old girl. The father grabbed her, stopping the punishment. He took the riding crop in his own hands, throwing it to the ground in disgust. Oh, it's all dirty. Quick, a carriage. You need a bath and some fresh clothes. Yes, come along, darling, the mother added to what her husband had already said. We'll buy you some new clothes and a new riding crop. As the family left, others laughed in approval, while some smiled and applauded. But amid all the commotion and fuss, a newcomer to the town had arrived. No one heard the hooves of his horse as he entered the square. Saw him dismount and take a table outside, where he ordered one of the finest wines the town had to offer. Oh, yes, sir, an excellent choice. The man serving absorbed the beautiful red and black cloth the stranger wore, his fine pointed leather boots, well manicured hands, and clean shaven face. And he couldn't help but notice the black stovepipe hat that the man had removed. Smiling, nodding, talking, taking the food order, he glanced again and for a moment stood perplexed. No, it cannot be. Looking again, he confirmed that the stranger's eyes were blue and not brown, as he thought they had been when he first arrived. Shall I arrange for your horse to be taken to the stables, sir? Yes, sir, that would be most kind of you. The food was brought to his table, and he spoke again. I shall be staying for 2 nights, and be leaving at noon on the third day. Where would you recommend I stay? Oh, that's easy, sir. Over the road, he pointed. The hotel offers excellent accommodation and a nice light breakfast. Is this place expensive? As the stranger spoke again, his voice was smooth and strong. Each syllable was pronounced perfectly. The question took the other man by surprise, and he stuttered at the beginning of his sentence. Expensive. Yes, sir, it's the most expensive in town, but has an excellent reputation. If you don't mind me saying, sir, you look like a man who can afford expensive things in life. Of course I can. He smiled after he had spoken, clasped his hands, closed his eyes, and took in a deep breath. Smells delicious. Sipping his wine, the stranger ate the small manageable pieces he had cut. He paid, leaving a handsome tip, stood and made his way towards the hotel. Afternoon came and people went about their business. Horses, some with carriages, passed, people passed, and still the man in rags just sat in the square. He fell asleep twice, longed to make eye contact and held his bowl up in hope of food. He was avoided like dog fowl, a disease no one wanted, a thing that didn't fit in with the town. Night called, bringing a chill along with a cat out for a prowl and hunt. The feline round teasingly around him, shoved its nose into his face, then turned and left. Morning. I will have the eggs and some of the wonderful coffee from the Blacklands. Oh, thank you, sir. The young woman took the order and left, leaving the well-dressed stranger to his own company. Other people in the dining room cast quick glances and conversation was whispered about him. Rising from his chair, he politely nodded and left. Standing outside, He casually lit a cigar, inhaled, waited, exhaled, and then confidently he walked across the road towards a place where he had eaten yesterday. "Morning, sir."
"Morning.
I would like to dine here again. Same table, same time."
"Oh, yes, of course, sir."
Half smiling, the tavern owner moved closer and spoke again.
I wonder, sir, could I ask you a question?"
"Certainly."
Have you seen anything like that before, and do you know what it is?"
Two questions. "Never mind." The stranger knowingly smiled and continued. "I'm teasing you. I apologise. Yes, of course I know what you speak of. He is a beggar."
"A beggar?"
"A beggar, yes. And he looks hungry."
Hungry?
"Hungry. Do you have any food for him?"
"Food for him? But I don't think he has any money."
"The man is half starved. Surely you could spare a little food and wine."
If he can't pay for it, he can't have it."
"Show him some kindness. Help him."
Is that what you do with beggars?"
"It is what you do with anyone who is in need of help. At this moment in time, he is not as fortunate as you."
I'll have to think about it and talk with my friends."
"He may be dead by then." The other did not reply, and the well-spoken man bid him good day and left. Walking across the square, the elegant stranger passed the beggar. Eyes met, and for a moment, the ragged man thought he recognised him. Nothing was said.
"Can you imagine giving him food?
It's disgusting. It should be arrested and run out of town.
And it's called a beggar."
"Morning, ladies." The newcomer interrupted the conversation and the two ladies turned to look at him. One blushed while the other spoke.
"Ah,
good day, sir.
We were just saying, it's disgusting having that thing out there."
"There are many disgusting things in this world, but the starving man in need of help is certainly not one of them.
And have you seen one of these beggars before?"
"Yes, madam, I have."
Where have you seen one? And what is your name, sir?"
"I have travelled to many different lands and seen many different people starving and in need of help. Names vary, but beggar will suffice here."
And your name?"
"Over time, I have had many names. Most just call me Ryder now."
"Ryder? What sort of name is that?"
It's my name." "Say no more." He smiled, turned and left. Soon, more people were talking, discussing.
"Who is this Ryder? Who? What is a beggar?"
They were perplexed and confused. Another day had nearly passed. The beggar was tired and weak. Still food and water were none. No one came to him except the cat. Remarks and repulsion stayed with him, along with the pain in his stomach, called hunger. "Another glass of wine, sir?"
"No, thank you.
It is a nice evening for a walk before I retire." The tavern owner smiled, and Ryder continued. "Again, I would like to eat lunch here. Noon, if possible."
"Certainly.
I am expecting company. A business associate."
"Thank you, sir.
A table for two, then." The owner spoke as Ryder stood and left. A little cloud drifted across the sky. The sun brought some warmth, and the people walked here and there, some quickly, others with all the time in the world. The breakfast was delightful.
"Thank you, sir,"
the young woman shyly replied to the immaculately dressed newcomer. "I shall freshen up in my room, and then I would like to settle my account."
"Oh, yes, sir.
Could you send a message to the stables?" Certainly, sir. I'll go myself. Thank you. Would you tell them to keep my horse inside? And I should collect him at 3. At 3, sir. I'll tell them. That's very kind of you. Taking a pocket watch from his waistcoat, Ryder checked the time. His hands took hold of his leather bag and expensive leather boots started to walk. He looked very much the gent. People spoke within their own company as he strode across the square. He knew eyes took in. He knew they talked about him, knew they didn't agree with him. A young boy, about 10, almost bumped into him. Sorry, young man. Ryder spoke and held out a reassuring hand. The boy returned a scathing look for one so young. Pulling away, he found his parents. That's him, mother. Ryder, they call him. The one who tells us to feed the beggar. I know, darling. Come along, you two. Let's go. The father spoke to both of them. Ryder ran an index finger across his lips, half smiling. Escaping his mouth as he watched them stroll away. As the hours passed, events repeated themselves. Townsfolk whispered, spoke behind his back. Some questioned him abruptly, asking why they should help the beggar, feed him, pay for him. Totally absurd, most thought. They had money, wealth and status. Each of them had worked hard, saved, and were able to enjoy the better things in life. A cold breeze blew through the town and people went about their business as Ryder approached the tavern. The owner smiled and showed him to his table. Wine, please, red. Make it a Merlot. Of course, sir. And 2 glasses. A young man brought the glasses, wine and a menu. No need for the menu. The chicken and the lamb will suffice. Vegetables and roast potatoes. Anything else, sir? No, that will be all. My friend will be here soon. Thank you, sir. The waiter left and Ryder enjoyed a glass of wine. The meal was ready and 3 came to serve, including the owner who spoke. Your friend is late, sir. Would you like to wait a little longer? No, I do not wish to wait. My friend is here now. Where, sir? The owner spoke, looking at the same time. There. He approaches now. Ryder pointed. Where? His words were cut short as he saw who walked towards them. Slowly, painfully, trying to resist, the beggar drew nearer. That's right, beggar. Come and join me. These words were strong in his mind and he could not refuse. But he can't eat here. He can and he will. Eyes met and Ryder held his gaze. I asked you yesterday if I could dine here with a friend. You said yes, and here he is. The beggar now stood by the table. But not him. You never said... Silence! You pour him some wine. A glance and a pointed finger prompted one of the waiters. I must... Silence, I said! The owner stopped instantly, words caught in his throat. Sit down, beggar, Ryder gestured with a hand, speaking dismissively. A trembling hand that reached for the wine. That's right, beggar. Help yourself. The man in rags gulped, spilling down his front. Pour him some more, then leave us. Without hesitation, his glass was full, but the owner spoke once more. Sir, Ryder, I must protest. This is my business. I will not tell you again. The voice was menacing and slow. You will not speak to me again. His voice withered the protester, and he continued. You will leave us to enjoy our meal, and you shall reflect on your very being, your life as a man, a human. You do not possess any compassion. show any thought or kindness to someone in need. What are you? The speaker shook his head. Eyes changed from blue to brown to black, and the listener stood white with fear. I wish to speak to you no more. Go and let us enjoy this food and wine. What kind of town is this? What kind of people does it house? Look, look at the sky and pray. Now go. Clouds gathered overhead, grey and thick. An icy wind blew and silence fell across the town. Not a single bird could be heard. What did he mean? What's happening? The young waitress had fear in her voice. Quickly, everyone, leave them. Ushering all his staff away, the owner looked back at the two men seated. And then he looked up at the sky. What should we do? Another young voice sounded. The mayor isn't back yet. Let's find the judge. All were speaking now, all asking questions, voicing opinions, but getting nowhere. Ah, beggar. Beggar, beggar, beggar. How are you? A pause followed. Not speaking to me. That is a shame. And after all the trouble I've gone to. Ride emotion with his hand across the table. The lamb is excellent. Please try some. A slice was carved and placed on the beggar's plate. Grey clouds were being replaced by black. Rain loomed and the wind started to howl. Some townsfolk just stared at the sky. Others ran for cover. A black-furred feline quickly dashed across the street, finding shelter under the tavern table. Mr. Sativola, there you are, the cat meowed. Yes, I know. You don't like this weather. Ryder reached down, picking up the worried animal. Deftly opening his bag with a spare hand, he popped the cat inside, and it seemed content. Now, beggar, where were we? The starving man ate, whilst gulping wine between mouthfuls. His body was filled with welcoming sensations as the meal progressed. Slow down. Digest your food. One of the nearby tables suddenly took flight, hurtling past their heads. Two chairs followed. A couple held on to each other as the wind overpowered them. Both were taken along the cobbles on their backs. The beggar's eyes looked on in panic. All right, beggar. You can speak. Ryder's eyes flashed and speech came to the man in rags. Save them. Please save them. Please stop. His voice was full of emotion and belonged to an educated man. You know I cannot do that. We had a deal. Remember? You must. I'll do anything. Take me instead. How many times have we been over the rules? But no, beggar. You have had your chance. I'm not a beggar. Ryder laughed and shook his head. You are. You are a beggar. No, I'm... You are no longer the mayor. You have a new position now, and I have renamed you myself. But these are my people. Your people. They were never your people. If they were, they would have helped you. But they didn't recognise me. Exactly, beggar. That is the point. Oh, just watch this, beggar. Ryder broke off the conversation. He stood to get a better view as rain began to pour. A small fat man was lifted off his feet, smashed into a wall by a savage wind. Lying broken and face down, the downpour washed away the blood trickling from his head. Several more bodies suffered in the same way. Cobbles exploded, causing a woman to lose her head, and a hotel burst into flames. Screams echoed through the town. People ran in uncontrollable panic, and others collapsed in sudden fear. Eat up, beggar. Eat up. The meal will be cold. I beg you, please. You see, you are a beggar. You are now begging for me to stop. Why? What? The beggar began to cry. Let us remind ourselves, old friend. As he spoke, Ryder took a sip of wine. I'll never be your friend. All right, new partner then. You were once the mayor of this town. This foul town, full of foul people. But it goes further back than that, beggar, doesn't it? Yes. Yes, it does. It goes a long way back. Eyes flickered different colours in a hand that passed over the table. A red mist appeared in the wood, eventually becoming a mirror. Blurred images swirled into focus and words were spoken. Take a look, beggar. Look and know why. The town stood, but as a small village, almost three generations ago. A lake was drained, making way for new housing. Small tribes suffered, losing their way of life, but others gained in wealth. Trees were cut, affecting wildlife, and humans who lived within the woodland. Rich people came, buying land and property, and the town flourished. An ancient and peaceful people living to the south were slaughtered by hired men, just so businessmen from the cities could come and hunt peacefully in the holidays. All the old ways died out. Children starved because their parents could not afford the new high standards of life. Offspring followed in their parents' footsteps. Siblings sometimes killing siblings just to gain wealth and power. On the surface, all was clean and innocent. An expanding town, thriving with entrepreneurs and wealth. But underneath, it reeked with deceit and death. Murders took place among friends and family. Some so that young mistresses could be wed, others to allow someone else to wear the robes of power. The beggar saw himself. Blood on his hands, he stood over his predecessor clutching a knife. Then his first wife lay dead in the stables after he had poisoned her. You murdered her, beggar, to marry this one. Ryder broke the silence and the visions continued. A beautiful woman stood at the beggar's side. But he was smartly dressed and commanded respect. He was the mayor, she was his new bride. Laughing, they shared a joke. But soon another woman shared his bed as his wife became pregnant. They argued about the child. She longed to be a mother, whilst he opposed, making her cry. But then they reconciled and were seen leaving the town by carriage. A short break would do them good. The next scene was bloody and horrific. The carriage lay on its side and his wife laid face down dead, covered in blood. Bandits circled on horseback and the mayor stood defenceless. When the leader dismounted, money and laughter were exchanged. You disgust me, beggar. The visions went. The table became just oak once more and the beggar sat terrified whilst listening. What sort of man are you? Cannot deny what you have just seen. By now the sky was virtually black. Wind ripped, rain lashed against buildings, whilst others had burst into flames. Bodies scattered the cobbles, broken by the sudden onslaught of elements. Shouts of help became deafened by the wind, which carried the structures away. The tavern resembled an overturned anthill. Staff ran here and there, pointing, panicking, not knowing what to do. But the table, chairs, meal, and both men continued undisturbed. Why tell you the facts? You know them. Nothing can save your town now, beggar. You have failed. It didn't take much. A drink of water, a mouthful of food, a kind word. And what came? nothing. If you kill them, you must kill me. Ryder laughed. Kill you? Kill my beggar? I think not. I named you. I created you. But no, beggar. You will not die. We had a deal, remember. Your people did not help you. Your people did not speak to you. They were repulsed by you. They did not recognize you. I had to tell them what you were. A beggar. Tutin, Ryder waved a hand and the visions returned. He stood by the overturned carriage and dead wife. A fresh horse had been brought by the murderers. Just as he was about to mount, another man rode into view. Bright light and a smell of burning engulfed him, swiftly knocking him out. When the mare awoke, the smell had vanished, but the light remained. Is this the man? Yes. Bring him closer. Voices could be heard, strange voices, a male and female. And suddenly he moved forward. An unseen force seemed to propel him, and two more voices joined the first pair. Did we really create it? Of course we did. What a mistake. They have the good points. Name them. Silence. Silence, a male voice spoke. Leave your petty squabbling for later. We have a more pressing matter. You're right. Yes, you're right. Our apologies. Time has run its course and still no change. The stronger male voice spoke again. And we all agree the action. A soft female voice asked the question. Yes. Many voices, male and female, spoke collectively. Is he here? Yes. He hasn't been used in centuries. Centuries or days. He must be used. What name does he go by these days? The name he uses is irrelevant. We know his true name. Do not speak it, the female voice spoke. No, do not. His name is known to all. Ask him to join us. A silence followed. Muffled voices were heard, and eventually the new voice came to speak. Thank you. Thank you, friends, for inviting me. It was the voice of the man now seated with the beggar. I thought you had forgotten me. We do not forget anyone, especially one such as yourself. Laughter came and the new voice sounded once more. So this is him, the mayor. And of course, the mayor is in charge of the village. We have watched for 3 generations and no change. They have cheated, killed for power, show no remorse. What will the 4th generation be like? They have learnt from the 3rd. Then there is no other option. No one spoke and silence surrounded. There could be a solution to the problem. The voice had suggestion and a hint of menace. What do you mean? Be careful. Yes, be careful. Let him speak. Thank you. As I said, there could be a solution. Give him to me. Let me adapt him. Adapt him? Yes. If he fails, well, you know what will happen. But should he succeed, the town will be saved. Many voices spoke, asking questions, debating, and finally one voice gave a reply. Very well, take him. Be gone. We shall wait and hope. Again, the past events vanished, leaving only a flat wooden surface on 4 legs. And here we are, beggar, the 2 of us. After all we have done, the outcome was always inevitable. How can you say that? I knew all along, beggar. You and your town were doomed from the start. No. Yes, the long walk across the desert, starving, thirsty, baked in the sun, eventually coming to your town. It was all a game, and a game to make things more exciting. Buildings crumbled against the wind, fire claimed others, and the body count mounted. Twisted, broken bodies scattered the ground, and blood quickly washed away in the torrential downpour. White forked lightning savagely struck the inn, once, twice, three times. Tiles and wood shattered, the roof gave way, and flames belched up. The tavern owner rushed out, but a fourth bolt whipped his body, leaving a smouldering, charred lump of flesh simmering on the floor. Not long now, beggar. More lamb? Ryder sat back, looked at his watch, and sipped a little wine. No, please, stop this madness. I don't want wine or food. I just want to die. Calm yourself, beggar. You're not going to die. No. The beggar swept a forearm across the table, knocking food and wine to the floor. Now that was very silly, beggar. No need for tantrums and violence. The beggar fell amongst a scattered meal, curling up into a ball. He began to cry, pulling at his hair and rags. Breathing became difficult, and then he just looked to the sky, lost in a trance, half mad. Ryder stood, eloquently wiping his mouth. He left money on the table to pay for the meal. Casually walking to the stables, the man returned on horseback. The building collapsed behind him, coughing up dust. Rain ceased and the wind calmed. Blue sky watched overhead and a warm sun beat down. Come on, beggar. It's time for us to leave. Looking up, tears escaped, but he could not resist. Struggling to his feet, the man clumsily walked forward. We have much to do, you and I. The next town is not far. Next town, the beggar thought. He wanted to shout out loud, but was unable. He was unable to speak, unable to oppose, unable to resist. He longed for his past life as the mayor, but deep down knew that now he would always be the beggar. His very soul no longer belonged to him. Casting a quick glance back, he saw the table. It still stood after all that had happened. Birds now feasted on the remaining offerings, and a light breeze scattered the money all over the corpse of what remained of the tavern owner. Do you think you might have better luck next time, beggar? Mr. Sativola thinks so. Several meows escaped the leather bag. Yes, I know the lightning frightened you. Another sound came. Very well. No lightning next time. The ruins were left behind as the small party travelled along the riverbank, through woodland and into the mountainous regions. Hours passed, the weather cooled, and eventually they became specks on the horizon. Look at the stars, beggar. What a beautiful sight. Fate just trudged moving forward. He didn't bother to look. I think we shall make a good trio. I hope so, anyway. Such adventures ahead of us. Legs were weary, and a mad, glazed expression covered the unwashed man in rags. Ah, well, it looks like it could be another nice day tomorrow, beggar. Do you know any songs? I once knew a man from the south. Wonderful singer. I might tell you later that story, beggar. And that is the end of the story, the short story, The Beggar. And I do hope you have enjoyed it. Thanks again for all your support. Thanks for downloading and supporting the podcast. As I always say, if you want to find out a little bit more of me, visit the website, which is daviddriverauthor.com. And I will certainly be speaking to you on the next episode. Goodbye for now.